I expected that this would be my life, entertaining the chairman in the evenings and occupying myself during the daylight hours in any way I could. But in the fall of 1952, I accompanied the chairman on his second trip to the United States. He'd traveled there the winter before, and no experience of his life had ever made such an impression on him. He said he felt he understood for the first time the true meaning of prosperity. Most Japanese at this time had electricity only during certain hours, for example, but the lights in American cities burned around the clock. And while we in Kyoto were proud that the floor of our new train station was constructed of concrete rather than old-fashioned wood, the floors of American train stations were made of solid marble. Even in small American towns, the movie theaters were as grand as our national theater, said the chairman, and the public bathrooms everywhere were spotlessly clean. What amazed him most of all was that every family in the United States owned a refrigerator, which could be purchased with the wages earned by an average worker in only a month's time. In Japan, a worker needed 15 months' wages to buy such a thing. Few families could afford it. In any case, as I say, the chairman permitted me to accompany him on his second trip to America. I traveled alone by rail to Tokyo, and from there we flew together on an airplane bound for Hawaii, where we spent a few remarkable days. The chairman bought me a bathing suit, the first I'd ever owned, and I sat wearing it on the beach with my hair hanging neatly at my shoulders, just like other women around me. Hawaii reminded me strangely of Amami. I worried that the same thought might occur to the chairman, but if it did, he said nothing about it. From Hawaii, we continued to Los Angeles and finally to New York. I knew nothing about the United States except what I'd seen in the movies. I don't think I quite believed that the great buildings of New York City really existed. And when I settled at last into my room at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel and looked out the window at the mountainous buildings around me and the smooth, clean streets below, I had the feeling I was seeing a world in which anything was possible. I confess I'd expected to feel like a baby who has been taken away from its mother. For I had never before left Japan and couldn't imagine that a setting as alien as New York City would make me anything but fearful. Perhaps it was the chairman's enthusiasm that helped me to approach my visit there with such goodwill. He'd taken a separate room, which he used mostly for business, but every night he came to stay with me in the suite he'd arranged. Often I awoke in that strange bed and turned to see him there in the dark, sitting in a chair by the window, holding the sheer curtain open, staring at Park Avenue below. One time after 2 o'clock in the morning, he took me by the hand and pulled me to the window to see a young couple dressed as if they'd come from a ball, kissing under the street lamp on the corner.